Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Friday evening. Hopefully a clinching World Series berth tonight for the Atlanta Braves. Here with you for the full four. Lots to get into with you this evening. We ask you to download the Radio.com app. That's how you listen to the radio station when you're outside the car. We know you're not in there as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the station and the show. How do I do it? Simple. Download the Radio.com app. Put that on your device today. Take that smartphone. Take those Alexa speakers. Take that tablet. Take that Commodore 64, your Sega Genesis, your Atari 2600, your Coleco, your Intellivision. I don't know what your device is. Just download it onto something, so that you can catch us on the go. Social media is all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the different platforms. As always, the best way to be a part of this particular show is by following us through our personal Twitter handle. Reach me. It's at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Jarvis has the night off, so helping us out down in Midtown tonight, young Dylan is hanging out with us. So a busy night tonight. We'll let him ask. We'll put our careers in jeopardy. We'll let him ask Rankin questions coming up tonight. So we will get to all of that before the end of the show. So lots to get into with you here. As we said on this Friday, a lot going on when it comes to Atlanta sports. So let's kind of set the table for what we got going on tonight. Coming up next segment, we'll talk to our friend of the show. She's joining us on Fridays, Tori McElhaney, covers the Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic. We'll talk to her in the next segment as we get ready for Falcons and Vikings coming up this weekend, a battle of two teams that have one combined win with them as the Raheem Morris interim head coaching stint gets underway officially this Sunday. We'll talk to her coming up next. Coming up in the at 8:20, we will talk to Ryan C. Fowler, out of Alabama, radio host in Alabama, as we get ready for Georgia and we get ready for the Alabama Crimson Tide As of now, there's some rumor and innuendo, as we say in the wrestling podcast world, about whether or not Nick Saban will end up being on the sidelines for this game. You know, if he keeps testing positive and such, that there may be an opportunity for him to find his way on there. Now, I don't know if he would go the Bobby Valentine route. Would he come out with the fake nose and glasses, if need be? Like put on the porn mustache, change up the hair, wear, like, you know, a big jacket and a ball cap or something, and just kind of go in disguise, incognito, to be on the sidelines? I kid, of course, but we'll get you all ready for Georgia and Alabama. As of right now, everything is a go for the game. So, as we said, a lot to get into with you here on this Friday evening. Main thing that we've got going on is 9:08 tonight, first pitch. And I guess I'm having trouble understanding. Why is first pitch at 9:08 tonight? Why are they? What was wrong with the 8:08? I'm not even a fan of the 8:08 first pitch, but why is it pushed back to 9:08? They didn't change. It's not like they've headed out to L.A. to start the series. It's not like they're traveling across country, playing the same place that they've been. And for some reason, they're starting an hour later. I'm not a fan of that. I'm really not. I mean, this is a game where the Braves can clinch a chance to get to the World Series. Wouldn't you think that they would want a little bit more earlier prime time to get this thing going? And if you have younger fans, because, you know, when you look at baseball metrics, the average age of baseball fans nowadays, you know, and all the studies that they do, is like 55 to dead. You know, it's not a youthful sport anymore. So when you have a chance, like for the Braves, with a lot of young, exciting players, to get back to the World Series, wouldn't you want more eyeballs, more younger people, more kids? And I understand that they don't have school tomorrow, but still, you're not keeping your kid up in the middle of the night just to try to watch this game. They couldn't start this thing at like 7:30 or 8 o'clock at the latest? 9:08? Yeah, I don't care what anybody says. That's part of why you get low ratings in the NBA Finals and things like that with this ball. It's too late. And miss me with the, oh, it's the old guy thing. No, it's not. It's ridiculous. You're trying to bring in a more youthful audience. Why would you not want more eyeballs at a prime time to see that game? I don't understand all of that. So, but, you know, magically just it changed to 9:08. So Braves will try to clinch tonight in this series. Now, the starting pitcher for tonight, if you will, and I use that term loosely, starting pitcher. The person who will start the game tonight is A.J. Minter, okay? So Braves going to kind of roll the dice. We knew it was going to be that kind of, you know, a person who starts and bullpen and all that kind of stuff, right? We knew that was going to happen, you know, for this game. Some people want to Josh. I'd have been in favor of Josh Tomlin, but we knew what the theory was going to be. We already knew that Max Fried was not coming back on short rest, okay? So we knew that wasn't going to happen, which I'm okay with, especially with a 3-1 series lead. I'm okay with the idea of not bringing back Max Fried on 3 days rest. And I was for that even before yesterday's game. They made it 3. Even at 2-2, I still would have been in favor of not bringing him back on short rest. You haven't done it all year. Why would you start now? If you weren't willing to do it earlier in the season, it's kind of, I don't think that there's a big advantage to doing it right now. Now, are you ready? If you're a Braves fan, okay, I need you. If you're standing somewhere, or you're on the treadmill, or you're on your Commodore 64 listening to us, or you're on your Atari 2600, you know, listening to us, I need you to do me a favor. Make sure you're sitting down with what I'm about to say, okay? I'll give you just a second, okay? Okay, everybody sitting down? Okay. I agree with Brian Snicker's decision to run A.J. Minter out there tonight. I think this is a good move by Brian Snicker. Yes, I said that. I'm complimenting Brian Snicker. I'm giving him props. Why do I say that? Because the best way to neutralize the Dodgers lineup is they want to go lefty heavy. We talked last night. They had five straight lefty bats in that game last night. The best way to try to neutralize Bellinger, Seager, Muncy, Rios, Peterson, all those lefties that they trot out is bring the hard-throwing lefty in. Not the junk ball lefty, okay? Bring the hard-throwing, come-after-you lefty. And I think it's a good move. Even if you tell me that he only gives you two innings in this game, set the tone. Set the tone and don't let them get off to a hot start. Because you know they're obviously back against the wall. We're going to do what we have to do, okay? We're going to let it all hang out. You would think, I mean, I say that, but you never know. But let's just assume, let it all hang out, do what we have to do to win tonight because there is no tomorrow. In the words of Apollo Creed, there is no tomorrow for the LA Dodgers if you lose tonight. So even if it's a couple innings, maybe you give your offense a chance to get a run or two lead, and now the Dodgers have to press because now they're behind. And now all those big bats that create problems get neutralized for it. So I am very much in agreement, and I like the move. I like what they're doing here with A.J. Minter. I think it's a good thing. It may not work itself out, but I'll at least tell you going into it, I support the decision. I think it's a good call. Bring my hard-throwing lefty in, neutralize their bats, let me get a chance to score a couple of runs, okay, and let's not let them get off early in this game because you know they're going to be aggressive. They're not scoring runs except for that one, you know, in all honesty, short of about an inning and a half, they haven't scored much in this series. They haven't done a whole lot, you know, offensively in this series. So we'll keep you up to date all night long. Hell, the show will be halfway over before we even get started, so we know we're certainly not going to be watching the end of this and celebrating, you know, on air with all of it, but we'll keep you up to date with all of this. Now, thought this was funny. So the LA Times, their paper and their sports section, let's go way back in time to the 11-inning, you know, first inning, 11-run, I should say, first inning that the Dodgers had the other day. And I just I had to laugh because the headline that the LA Times and the LA Times sports section had is, this is after game three, okay? Dodgers turn NLCS on its head with one furious half inning. And here's the byline. In the wake of their 15-3 victory over the Braves in game three of the NLCS on Wednesday, the Dodgers look good enough to create a mathematical conundrum. Can you be trailing 2-1, yet actually be leading the series? And this, of course, is written by long-time, and I mean long-time, L.A. sports writer Bill Plaschke. If you're not familiar with Bill Plaschke, he's on that, what's that, Dylan, Around the Horn, okay, which is the most dreadful show ever created on ESPN. I'd rather watch a guy in a stall drop a deuce than I would watch that show. It's so dreadful. The only thing that would make that show interesting is if that in each one of their locations, there is somebody with a folding chair that when they get something wrong, gets one free shot. Go 99 Royal Rumble, Rock versus Mankind in the I Quit match where there was 38 chair shots to mix head. That show is dreadful. I hate everything about it, everybody on it. It makes me want to go in my bathroom and throw up watching it. It's so stupid. And that Woody, what's his name, Woody Page? I want to punch him in the face. How's that for hot take? How's that for hot takey? I can't stand that show. So Plaschke is one of those guys, one of those nimrods that they stick on that show out there. Column, Dodgers make series-changing statement. Okay? Well, let me give news to Plaschke in the LA Times. Your series-changing statement didn't really change any statements about the series because thus far it's not really been a series. That's my column. There's my byline right there. You want a byline? Your series-changing statement sucks because it hasn't changed the series and this hasn't really been much of a series thus far. So F you to the LA Times. F you to Bill Plaschke. Go back on Around the Horn and do that god-awful show. Can they, like, when they get it wrong, can they send, like, Electro? Do you remember Ghostbusters? Anybody remember the movie Ghostbusters? Remember in the beginning when Bill Murray is doing the thing with the card and they're trying to see if they can read the card even though they're not seeing the read what the image is, and he did the electric shock thing? Can they do that to those guys except amp up the volume? What a dreadful show. Ugh. Where's the folding chair when you need it? Good headline, Bill. How's that working out for you in L.A.? Can we close this thing out tonight? F the Dodgers. And I'm telling you, I said it tonight, I'm going to say it again. They lose tonight. Watch and see if Dave Roberts doesn't get fired. He should be. It's dreadful how they put all that money in that team. Just gave Mookie Betts $365 million. They're going backward as an organization. All right, when we get back, Tori McElhaney is going to join us. We'll preview Falcons and Vikings with her and get all the latest news and updates. It is the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this Friday evening. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on the radio.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Fairburn.
What's happening?
It's Andy Bunker here from the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Thanks for listening to us every weekday from 10 to 2 on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Friday evening. Hopefully a World Series berth, a clinching National League Championship Series clinching Friday night. We're just sitting here aging, waiting for the game to start. Still a couple hours away before first pitch happens tonight. Braves and Dodgers. A.J. Minter will take the mound to start for L.A. Well, coming up Sunday, we've got Falcons and the Vikings. Of course, we are your home for all things Atlanta Falcons right here on Sports Radio 9 on the Game. We'll have all your coverage on the station, and as we do each Friday, as we get ready for Falcons football in a new look, at least from a coaching standpoint, Atlanta Falcons. Head out to the WadeFort.com hotline. She covers all things for the Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic. Tori McElhaney is joining us. Of course, as always, follow Tori at Tori underscore McElhaney. Tori, hope you're doing well on this Friday as we get ready for the at least interim Raheem Morris regime for at least the next 11 games.
Yeah, I'm doing good. It's been quite the week, though.
Yeah, no question about it. A lot going on. Let's start with the injuries. Obviously we know Marlon Davidson is in the COVID protocol, so he's not available. I thought I saw Julio is not listed on the injury update, so kind of give us an idea and rundown about who we think is in, who we think is out.
Well, I think for the first time in probably a few weeks, I have a lot more hope that you'll see the Falcons look a little closer to full strength than you've seen them look probably in a while. I do think that Julio Jones will play on Sunday, which is really good news for the Falcons. I know that they had a lot of guys limited in practice today, but I will say this, because they didn't practice yesterday, I think you're kind of looking at guys who probably would have been limited yesterday and would have been full strength today, or limited today and they'll be full strength tomorrow. So it's really, I think, a situation that the Falcons are looking a lot better injury-wise. I know Tack McKinley, Jalen Hawkins, they have been ruled out for Sunday's game. But other than that, everybody's looking to be working back and should be ready to go on Sunday.
Tori, I know Raheem Morris was asked this question during the week, but I'm wondering if we're getting any more kind of clarification, and that was about who's going to call the defense. I mean, obviously, he and Jeff Albrecht, they had this, and I'll say it, convoluted system about, you know, calling this on this down and that down and all that, and, you know, all I know is that they're, you know, one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Are we getting any more clarity on it? Do we still think that that kind of breakdown is going to happen, or do we think that Albrecht is going to have more control of just calling all the defensive players? plays. Excuse me.
I think it is going to look pretty similar to how it's looked in the past, you know, half year. We did talk to Jeff Ulbrich earlier today, and he did say that they were going to be splitting the play calling. And then we talked to Raheem earlier in the week, and he said that it'll look pretty similar to the end of last year and then, of course, the beginning of this year. So I don't think we're getting too far away from what they have been doing in terms of defensive play calling. But, you know, that could always change. They could get two games in and Raheem be like, you know what, I'm going to give this to you, or let's try and work this out in a different way. But for the time being, I think for this Sunday, it is going to look pretty similar to how it's looked.
Torrey, we talked about this the other night on the show about the fact that it happened Monday, and it was kind of like under the radar that Ben Kutwika was let go as the special teams coach. Do we know, was that part of Arthur's kind of decision in making changes, or is that something Raheem Morris had asked for?
The way that I understand it, and this is just going off of what Arthur Blank said on Monday and then what Raheem said on Tuesday, I do think that it was Raheem Morris's choice. When we were talking to Arthur Blank and Rich McKay on Monday afternoon, they made the comment, they're like, the coaching staff, they are having a meeting right now to decide, you know, what they're going to do in terms of, you know, rearranging responsibilities, and we have given that decision to Raheem to make. So I do think that was on his shoulders.
Torrey McElhaney joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Of course, Falcons reporter for The Athletic, for our Friday conversation with her as we get ready for Falcons and Vikings coming up this Sunday. All of your action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We also got news today that the Vikings will be Vikings will be without Dalvin Cook this Sunday, who obviously last year we remember torched this team and has had success, you know, against him. How much do you think that plays into the Falcons trying to get more aggressive? How much do we think that, you know, maybe they have to rely a little bit more on the pass this Sunday, maybe try to get after Cousins? I mean, how much is the dynamic changed with him out?
I think it does change a little bit. It's really interesting because with everything that's happened this week with the Falcons, I've had very little time to even consider what's been going on with the Vikings. But yeah, getting that news today that he's been officially ruled out, I think it does. I think I don't think it changes it like completely. I do think though that what you're saying where they're like maybe being a bit more aggressive in how they go about, you know, not having to essentially like have to have people on him. I mean, that's the thing is like you have to think about what the resources that they would allocate to him and what he can do, and like what you said, what he did last year. And so I do think that it kind of like frees up the Falcons maybe just a little bit.
Torrey, you know, I keep hearing the word accountability. I hear that from, with all due respect, I hear it from analysts, and I hear it from this, and I hear it from that, and there's got to be accountability. And we know, obviously, coaches have been let go, general managers have been let go, so there is some start to accountability out there. My question is that, I mean, what are we hearing from Raheem Morris as far as player accountability? Because, I mean, with all due respect, I look at the depth chart and I understand it kind of is what it is, but I see some familiar names and faces of guys who, frankly, have not done anything to get the job done this year, and I see them still starting. You know, and I'll say it. You don't have to say it, but I'll say it. You know, 26, and we call him by his number here because he's got to earn that name back. But 26, for instance, still listed on the depth chart, even though it's been a real struggle for him, even though he's struggled mightily for it all. What is Raheem Morris talking about as far as player accountability and what may change there?
So specifically talking about that specific player, no one has specifically called him out. Every time that you ask a coach about him specifically, they just say that he's so close. He's like one play away from getting an interception here or there or wherever. And so, like, that's all well and good, and I get it that they have their players' backs, and that's great. But there is something to be said about wanting more from your players. And I did think it was very interesting when we were talking to Dante Fowler today, and he was asked the question. He was like, what's the difference between Dan Quinn and Raheem Morris? And he was like, well, Raheem is kind of making us a little bit uncomfortable because he's getting after us. And one of the very first things that Raheem Morris did was he had these meetings with the leaders on the team, and he did one for the offense and one for the defense. And specifically the defense, he had Grady Jarrett, Ricardo Allen, Keanu Neal, Foye Luakam, Deion Jones. Like, he met with all of them and said, look, I need more from y'all. I need more. I need y'all to go out, and I need y'all to lead, and I need y'all to lead by example, and I need you to do this, this, and this. And here's where you're not doing. And he kind of, I mean, I don't know if he laid down the law, but he told them that, like, what's been happening is not going to cut it now. And it is kind of like turning up the intensity a little bit. And I think that you have heard Ricardo Allen, he was talking about it. He was like, yeah, he kind of laid down the law. And then Dante Fowler saying today, you know, he kind of wants, he's trying to get us mad at him. He's making us uncomfortable so that we can go out and play better, so that we can play with more intensity. So, yeah, I know when you talk about accountability, like, I think personally, I think that's what you want to hear. You want to hear that the coach is really getting after these guys, because the way that they have been playing is unacceptable.
Yeah, and that is Raheem Morris's rep, is that he's going to be more of a tough-minded guy. Tora McElhaney is joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. She covers all things for the Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic as we get ready for Vikings and Falcons coming up Sunday afternoon. All the action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know, obviously if things go well, then it'll just continue to roll along. But I'm curious, because there was something that stuck out to me about Raheem Morris's comment the other day about how, you know, I've got a guaranteed 11 games, you know, to kind of put my stamp and things like that. And I guess what kind of struck me is, so am I to assume that if this team goes 0-6 in their next six games, that there would be no other coaching changes, that OC, DC, interim coach? Because I do think that there's still going to be a whitewashing when all is said and done. When this season ends, I don't think you're going to see a lot of familiar faces, you know, on this staff, you know, come next year. But do you think that no matter what happens, Raheem Morris coaches these 11 games, no matter, I mean, the good, I understand, but no matter how bad it continues to get?
I think it's a really good question, and one that we haven't really seen a situation where, like what you said, let's say the Falcons don't win to the bye week. Let's say they don't win the next six games. Let's say they don't win the next eight games. Like, do you see changes being made? I mean, as of right now, I don't know the answer to that, because just from talking to Arthur Blank and then talking to Rich McKay, I mean, they were saying the same things too. It's like, Raheem has 11 games. Like, this is a situation, normally you have an interim come in and he has three or four games.
Right.
You have Raheem Morris who has 11. So it is kind of a little bit of an uncharted territory, and I don't know. To be completely honest, and I think it's okay to say, I don't know what would happen if the Falcons didn't win another game for the next 6 weeks. Like, I don't know if we've ever had a situation like that. So for me to sit here and say, like, oh, yeah, if they don't win at some point in the next 6 weeks, or however long we want to say the hypothetical, like, I don't know for me to be able to say, like, yeah, no, there would absolutely be coaching changes. I'm not ready to say that, because there's a lot of stuff that I think, like, this is a big chunk of games. So, to be completely honest, I don't know.
Well, I know there's a lot of fans who don't necessarily want to see wins, but I'm not a big fan of losing football games, good, bad, or otherwise. So follow her on Twitter. She's going to have all your Falcons information for you, covering all things Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic. Tori McElhaney on Twitter at @Tori_McElhaney, and join us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline for our weekly chat. Tori, as always, appreciate it. Be safe, be well, enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Sounds great. Talk then.
You got it. All right, when we come back, let's kind of preview what we got going on tonight with the Atlanta Braves. Kind of a where do we stand on all of this? So We'll get you ready for all the Braves action coming up next. This is John Chuckery Show, hanging out on this Friday evening. Sports Radio Nights on the Game and on your radio.com app.
Talking local sports.
Late at night.
It's the John Chuckery Show.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it on the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Friday evening as we get ready for some Braves baseball coming up at 9:08 first pitch. 404-741-0929. That, of course, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. Radio.com app is how you catch us on the go. And social media is at 929 The Game. Hit me up on my Twitter page. It's at JMCH316. Been having a lot of fun on Twitter here these last few weeks between Falcons and Braves and everything else. It's been a lot of fun, so appreciate it. Picked up a lot of new followers here over these last few weeks, so appreciate all of that, and thanks for being a part of it and enjoying the fun and frivolity that is the Twitter world. As we said, 9:08 first pitch, Braves with a chance to clinch and head to the World Series. Now, you know, there is history of being down 3-1 and coming back to win the series. In fact, no team knows that better than the Atlanta Braves. Now, of course, that was 1996 when the Braves were down 3-1 to the St. Louis Cardinals. And I was actually at Game 7 of that comeback. It was such a crazy series that the Braves just stomped the Cardinals in those last three games. In fact, the final game was like 13-0 or 15-0. They just piled it on in that Game 7. I was actually at that. That was still at Fulton County Stadium, by the way. If you remember, in 96, they still had both stadiums up. They were retrofitting Olympic Stadium to get it turned into Turner Field, but the Braves were still playing at Fulton County. Remember, all the Olympic baseball was played at Fulton County. That was kind of fun. I was there for USA-Cuba in Fulton County during the Summer Olympics. So as they were retrofitting and getting, you know, what would become Turner Field all put together from Olympic Stadium, the Braves were still playing in Fulton County, and it'd be their last playoff there. And after being down 3-1 to the Cardinals, they come back. And like I said, I was at that Game 7. That was crazy. I mean, they just destroyed the Cardinals in that game. So it's not as though that it hasn't been done before when you look at coming back from 3-1. So, you know, even more reason to just not give the Dodgers any hope in this series. As far as lineups go, here's what the Dodgers got. So, and this is interesting because this is what we talked about as far as not letting them pile up all those lefties all together. So it'll be Betts, Seager, Turner, 1-2-3. And then you go Muncy, Will Smith back in the lineup, Cody Bellinger, then Jock Peterson, Chris Taylor, and then the pitcher tonight will be Dustin May. Of course, Big Red, we saw him the other night, you know, in that game. So, you know, again, he's a guy. He's only been in the league for a couple of years thus far. I was trying to see what his stats were here this year. Where were we at there? There we go. Obviously, he is a starting pitcher for them. 3-1 with a 2.57 ERA this year, 44 strikeouts in 56 innings. Remember, he did pitch the other night in the playoff series. He pitched an inning and two-thirds, gave up a hit, a couple of strikeouts, and an intentional walk in all of that with no runs given up. So, you know, I don't know what to expect out of him tonight. He did pitch in against the San Diego Padres. He did actually make a start, only pitched three innings of no hit, no run ball in that game. So, and actually picked up the win in that game as well. So that's your lineup for the LA Dodgers. As far as the Atlanta Braves go, if I can get their lineup to pull up tonight, Acuna, Freeman, Ozuna, Darno, Albies, Swanson, Riley, Markakis is back in the lineup. Cakes is back, baby! After his being on base three times the other night, Christian Pache will hit ninth and play center field. And, of course, as we said, A.J. Minter. My thing is the same, you know, the same scenario that's been the theme of this series. And I tweeted this out last night that one of the things that's really not been talked about this series is how good of a job the Braves have done at trying to keep Mookie Betts off the bases and not letting him get that thing going, because he's really the spark that gets that engine going of the Dodgers, you know, hitting leadoff, and he can steal bases, and he's got a lot of power. You know, he's sort of like a Ronald Acuna in some ways, you know, hitting in that leadoff spot. He can get on base and this, that, and the other. You know, in the playoffs, he was hitting three. He came into the series hitting 367 with three walks. So he had been red hot coming into this playoff series, but thus far really hasn't done a whole lot of damage. And, you know, he's drawn a couple of walks here and there, but by and large, they've done a great job of keeping him off the bases. And I think that's been one of the keys about this series, is the fact that why is the Dodgers offense not gotten it cranked up as much? And I think keeping him off the bases and keeping him out of it has been a real key for this, for the success of keeping the Dodgers off the scoreboard. So, you know, that trend continues tonight. And look, get out early. You know, in a game like this where the Dodgers have to play in must-win panic mode, get out early. Don't let them kind of settle in. Don't let Dustin May kind of settle into a groove as a starter. Put pressure on him. You know, get a couple of runs early to where defensively you're thinking about, I can't afford to make a mistake. Pitching-wise, I feel like I can't make a mistake. You know, there's a lot of pressure on the Dodgers. They, you know, we're talking about some of the all-time payrolls that the Dodgers are trotting out there. And if you think about it, they've been going backwards the last few years, from almost winning the World Series to not getting there last year in a disaster of a managing job by Dave Roberts with that, with his staff and bullpen in that Washington Nationals series, to, you know, they may lose 4-1 to the Braves and again not get into the World Series. Well, that's not what that team is set up to be, with all due respect. They didn't give Mookie Betts $365 million to sort of just get to the postseason and, well, whatever happens, happens. And I do think I think that Dave Roberts got a pass, even though he shouldn't have last year, because he was completely outmanaged in that series against the Nationals. And I really do think that if they lose this series, that I think that he may be done as a manager. And I had this argument with Harper LaBelle, former Falcons player, that we were going back and forth. He's like, but they've won 8 straight divisions. Okay, that's the Bobby Cox thing. With all due respect, he hasn't earned the respect of what Bobby Cox has to not be in trouble in that position. And then he's like, well, they've been in the 3 straight National League Championship series. Yeah, that's what you have a $400 trillion payroll for. Crying out loud, if you go out and can get every single player that you want imaginable, you're supposed to be. I mean, that team is not built to just be, well, let's get to playoffs and see what happens. That team is not built for, well, you know, anything can happen in a short series. That's not what they're built for. You know, they're built to go win the World Series and bring a World Series trophy back to the Dodgers. So when you're not doing it, and you're giving guys like Mookie Betts $365 million. And I keep going back to that because we're talking about the second biggest contract in the entire history of baseball. And that's just one guy. Imagine, you know, I mean, Kershaw gets a big chunk of money. Imagine what Bellinger and all those guys are going to get when push comes to shove as well. So they're designed to go out and win the World Series. So when they're not in the World Series, it's a failure. That's the expectation. And how many years of that can you get away with? So this is where the Braves, and I'm not saying you even got to get 10 runs or anything like that. In all honesty, get a couple of runs in the first or second inning. And that really changes the dynamic of this game tonight. Because now you start to get everybody in that dugout with that tightened up sphincter. Because here's what's kind of happened in this series, right? One or two runs for the Braves seems to turn into a, okay, all of a sudden there's a 6-run inning. Okay, all of a sudden they find 4 or 5 runs in an inning. And that pucker factor starts to get, you know, going out there, because Dodgers don't have a choice. They've got, so now you start maybe making moves to your bullpen early, which, by the way, is an advantage to the Braves, that if they get into their bullpen. You saw last night, I mean, once they start getting in that bullpen and have to play that round robin, and they have a couple of guys looking that have the heat and can bring all of that. There's no question about it that they've got some guys and get some outs, but still, you want to be in the Dodgers bullpen. And I thought what was so impressive last night is it was very simple. They just kept staying close, battling with Kershaw, raising his pitch count, battling him. You know, he was having trouble finding the plate. A lot of balls in the dirt. And I know that's part of his deal, but a lot of balls in the dirt. Having some patience to where once he started getting gassed, then the Braves were able to take advantage of it. Then the Braves were able to get some things done, and they were able to take advantage of it. And then, of course, once he goes out, then the floodgates opened up, and, you know, it was a 10-run effort for the Braves offense last night. So just even scratching a run or two across early in this game, I think really changes the dynamic of it. And you really put the pressure on the Dodgers because they've struggled so much. I mean, again, outside of that big, you know, 11-run outburst, their run production has been next to nothing. You know, they had the in game two, the big rally, you know, in the ninth inning that fell short, and then the big first inning in game three. But outside of that, they've done nothing offensively. They've done nothing. So keep bets off. Continue to keep bets, you know, off the bases. But just even scratch or claw your way into a run or two early on, and I think you really change the dynamic of the game. What will be interesting to see is where they go after Minter come back. I'm guessing A.J. Minter's two innings, right? I mean, maybe he could get to three. Oh, look at that. The Astros are bunting. How about that? So the Astros just dropped down a bunt to move guys to second and third. Huh. So it can be done, huh? Okay. So now they have second and they're down one run. Snell got knocked out. And now a guy dropped down a bunt to make it a second and third with nobody out. Oh, okay. So you can play fundamental baseball in today's baseball. Okay. All right. Perfect bunt down the third baseline. Catcher's got to come out and make a play, but both guys advance, and now you have two guys in scoring position with nobody out. Huh. Funny how that can do actually can work, huh? Okay. All right. Just making sure that you can still do all of that. So maybe they can get Markakis to drop down a bunt tonight. Maybe he can leg out a base hit like that. But anyway, what I'm going to be curious is after we get past A.J. Minter is where do the Braves go from there? And I don't know if that's dictated upon if they have a lead or if they're behind or this or that or whatever it is. But as we just talked about with the Dodgers lineup, you've got those lefty bats that are broken apart. You know, we said last night, oh, look at that. Huh. Oh, boy, lucky he pounced a wild pitch. And wild pitch, catcher's able to recover, though, without anybody scoring on it. But last night we talked about five straight lefties in that lineup to face Bryce Wilson. And by the way, Bryce Wilson was everything about magnificent as you could be. That was as clutch of a start as you could possibly have for the Atlanta Braves because they needed that start. After what happened the night before, you know, in the LA Times telling you that the series has changed and the momentum's all in the Dodgers' favor, you know, the old saying about baseball is that, you know, momentum isn't any longer than the next day's starting pitcher. And you saw that last night. Bryce Wilson took all that to heart, and he was magnificent. So let's see if the Braves can wrap this thing up. We'll keep you updated as we get actually into the game, and there's a base hit that might drive in two runs. Funny how it just kind of works out, huh? You can play baseball, and you can, scored both runs. There you go. Funny how that can be fundamental baseball. By the way, go Astros. I said it, and I've been saying it. Go Astros for the H. All right, when we get back from the top of the hour, my preview of Vikings and Falcons. It's all coming up next. Chuckery Show, Sports Radio, Nights on the Game, and on the radio.com app.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too.
Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.